Okay, we're starting on page Kuf Nun Dalet in Simon Shin Chof Gimel, Seif Vav. We can't do Vav and Zayin today. So Simon Shin Chof Gimel, Seif Vav on page Kuf Nun Dalet. Medichim Kelim, Lesarech Hayom. You're allowed to wash dishes if they need them for that day. It's on Shabbos and you can need them later that day. You're allowed to wash your dishes. Kagoin Shinishar Le'adayin Su'ud Le'echol. For example, you still have a meal to eat, so you need Kelim for that Su'ud. But once you've already eaten your third meal, Ein Medichim, onto page 308, you're not allowed to wash dishes because you're not going to be eating any meals. So why are you washing dishes? But cups, any other items you use for drinking, those you could wash all day even after Shalosh Shiyos because the whole day, there's no fixed time to drink, you drink anytime. Eating, you have like your fixed time, three meals on Shabbos, let's say, but drinking is any time, and therefore any type of drinking utensils can be washed all day. Okay, back to page Kufnun Dalav, Sif Kotten, Chof Vav, left column and in the bottom. Medichem, you can wash dishes. Afilu Efe Koisoi, Svein Soch, Elala Achas. Here's the Chiddush that everyone likes to rely on. Even if there are 10 cups and you only need one, you only have one that you actually need, Vashay Ladiach Kulam, you're allowed to wash all of your cups. Doho Voilo Kole Echad. Since any particular one is suitable for use, they permitted all of them. Same thing applies to making beds, or it doesn't have to be beds, but the Chazal, when they said mitos, they didn't mean beds, they meant like these things you sit on when you eat, but here I think we're talking about beds. If you need one bed, you can make all the beds. That's the same idea. Okay, there's lots of footnotes on this. I think we'll just stick to the words. Sifkon Chav Zayin Leser Chayom. What you need for that day, you're allowed, if you still need that day, you're allowed to wash dishes. Hainu, afilu b'leil Shabbos, mutar ladiach l'tzeach macha l'tzeach suda shlishis. That means even on Friday night, it's a long time till the next suda, you're allowed to wash dishes for tomorrow's Shabbos day meal or for Shalosh Shudas. That's all permitted. Tifkon chavches, kagon shenishal. For example, you still have a meal to eat. You're allowed to wash dishes if you still have one of your meals, such as Shalosh Shudas, to eat. If you know for sure you're not going to need these kelim anymore, then you're not allowed to wash these dishes because it's unnecessary effort on Shabbos. But on the contrary, if you know you need them, you have a planning on having another meal still. You might have had your suda shlishis, but you plan on having another meal a bit later, then you could wash your dishes. I remember Stama onto page 308, but here we're talking about the regular standard situation, is like Shalosh Shudas is the last meal you're having, etc. Or be an example of where you know you don't need them. You might have an upcoming meal, we don't need them. Let's say you always have milchiks in Shalosh Shudas. So you've had your fleishik lunch, you had your fleishik Friday night, so why are you going to now come and wash fleishik dishes? You don't need fleishik dishes, you're having milchiks for Shalosh Shudas. That would be an example of where you would not need them and there's no permission to wash them. Okay, so we're on page 308 now. Cups you can wash all day because there's no particular fixed time that you eat. If you're absolutely certain you're not going to need to drink anymore, then there's no need to even to wash cups. The whole heter is based on the possibility you might be drinking. But if you know for sure you're not going to be drinking, you're leaving the house now for the rest of the day or something, then there's no permission to wash cups. Okay, Siv Zayin on page 308. Shulchan Aruch Mutter, Ladbil, Kli Chadash, Haton, Tvila. You are permitted, don't get excited, you are permitted to immerse a new Kli that needs Tvila. V'yesh Oisim, there are those who prohibit. V'yesh Shamayim, Yetzes, Kulam, but the person who has Yesh Shamayim will fulfill the opinions of all. V'yetain, a Kli, Leina Yehudi, V'matana, V'yachsov, Yishalenu, M'menu, V'yin Tzach, Tvila. That the solution to avoiding having to get into this shiloh of Tfilas Kelim is to give your Kli to a Goy as a gift and then borrow it from him. And because you borrowed it from him, but he currently owns it, then there's no need to be Tovil. You could give it to him on Shabbos. Give him the Kli on Shabbos, now belongs to him, and if you use a Goy's Kli, it does not need Tvila. And you know it's kosher, because you just give it to him. So that will be okay. And the Ramah says, V'im, who Kli Shiroi Lemalos by Mayim, if the Kli that we're talking about that needs Tvila and you didn't give it to a goy, which is a regular case. You have this kli that needs tefillah, but it's the type of kli you use to fill with water. Yimaleinu mayim min hamikveh, also a tefillah. Then you're allowed to look like you're just filling up water. Go take it. I mean, of course, you won't go to the mikveh to do it necessarily, but you can go and put, you know, immerse the kli where it looks like you're just filling up with water, and by doing so, you are putting under the surface. You are thereby being covered with the kli. That would be okay. They didn't have like special keli mikveh like we do nowadays. They had basically go to the river or whatever it might be. So it doesn't look like you are necessarily doing tovah. It looks like you're just kind of filling up the cups, you know, filling it up to drink or whatever. So that would be okay. Okay, so sifkon lamed mutter. According to the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to immerse a new kli in a mikveh on Shabbos. Afilu hayalei hakli mikodim shalvi yom. Even if you had it much earlier, you had it like 2 weeks ago, you could have done it and you didn't. It's still permitted. But adasa oisim afilu igielei hakli b'shabbos. And according to the opinion that prohibits immersing kalim, then even if it just arrived on Shabbos, you couldn't, and which means you could not have done it before, you're still not allowed to do it. Shenasan lehein yehudim atana. What would be an example of this? Is where a goy gave a Jew a gift, this kli as a gift on Shabbos. So you might think you can immerse it since you didn't have a chance before Shabbos, you didn't own it before Shabbos, afila hachi asa, you're still not allowed to do it according to the stringent opinion. Because it looks like you are fixing up the kli, perfecting the kli by immersing it. Because originally it couldn't be used, now it can be used. It looks like you've kind of done a physical improvement to it and therefore making it usable, and therefore it's asa according to this opinion, midrabanan, to be matbil kelim on Shabbos. So that's the two opinions of the Shulchan Aruch. Sifkon lamed aleph, kli chadash, a new kli. What's the new kli? Hanikach min ein yehudi, a new kli that you have bought from a non-Jew. That requires tefillah. V'amechah besosam v'lehizke be'ezeh kli mitmairi. Shulchan Aruch didn't differentiate and speak about any particular kli. U'mashmed afilu kli mateches, da habe poiskim su lehu de tefillasa hu min ha-Torah. That the Shulchan Aruch seems to be even including metal kelim, which according to many poskim is a requirement midoraisa to be toivel. V'gam mecha besosam kem biyodeh simen kof kuf chof sif yodeh. As the Shulchan himself writes in Yodeh. Gam kein mutu v'habdil. According to this first opinion, even such a kli which is a chi of doraisa, and if you'd say the tikkun is a major tikkun, that's still permitted according to that opinion, and bi'alocha for more details. Sifkon lamad beis yesh oisim sam prohibit immersing kelim on Shabbos, hainu afilu bechli zchuchis. Even if they're glass kelim, which are only a chi of drabonon to be toivel, matbil, v'afilu hu l'serch shav, even if you need it for Shabbos, this opinion prohibits being matbil kelim on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch then continued to say, v'yirei shamayim, lamad gimel, someone who has yirei shamayim will fulfill all opinions by giving it to a goy and then borrowing it. Mashma de misal adin maskim nadeh rishoyna. Sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, if you just say someone in Yerushalayim implies that a regular person is permitted to rely on the first opinion and be matbil kelim on Shabbos. That's what it seems. V'ayim b'darki Moshe shekasa de medina yesh lefseik kadasi yesh oisim. However, darki Moshe, which is the Ramah, writes that you really should follow the psak of the opinion that prohibit being matbil kelim on Shabbos. V'chein pasak b'tshuvas shagas aryeh. Shagas aryeh also passing this way. So he already brought now two opinions for Ashkenazim to be machmer, not to be matzbil kelim on Shabbos. Mikom mokoim im avar v'tovel efshe demutel ishtamish boy. But it could be that if a person transgressed this din, meaning even though we've just seen that you're not supposed to be matzbil kelim, but if a person would transgress and go ahead and be matzbil kli, it would be still permitted to use it immediately on Shabbos. Came to yishmatir and afil chatur, since there are opinions who totally permit being matzbil kelim, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. V'im yesh lo safek al akli im hi sricha tefillah. What about a kli where you're not sure if it needs tefillah or not? Nearly the Yeshlismaich of the Avashoina Ladbila Lechatrila. You could rely Lechatrila on the opinion of the first train of Shulchan Aruch and be matbil the kli, because she eshel asif beneka la voice of Shulchan Aruch. If you have no way of, like they say, giving it to a goy and borrowing it, then definitely you're allowed to be matbil such a kli. Since the whole thing is only a safik, it's not even considered to be much of a tikkun to put in the mikveh, and therefore it is permitted. So again, a kli that you're not sure if it needs tefillah or not. And you can think of a different situation. For example, you don't know if someone, the person before you, like let's say you, it's in your house now. You don't know, maybe you already were tovel kli. Maybe you don't know. or maybe it's a type of kli where it's a machlekes, or it's unclear whether it requires tefillah or not, or you don't know whether the person you bought it from is a goy or where he got it from, whatever, or maybe he, you know, he was just a middleman and really the owner is a Jew, whatever. There's details that would promote some type of suffix. If the suffix really needs tefillah, so if you can't just give it to a goy and borrow it from him, then you can follow the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch, which is lechatchila, to be matbil the kli, as he just pointed out. So how do you have this solution? What's the clever solution to avoid tefillah? Is to give your kli to a goy and then borrow it from him to use, so that doesn't need tefillah anymore. Even you say, well, I can't give it, you can't, how are you supposed to give a gift to the goy? You're not allowed to give a gift on Shabbos. As we learned earlier. Shabbos, here we have permission because it's for a Shabbos need that you can use the kli, so you have your permission to give the gift to the goy on Shabbos.
How do you give it and then take it back? You say
to him, I'm going to give this to you as a gift,
yeah.
Then you have to let me borrow it.
Just lend it straight back?
Yeah. Because if he goes and takes it to his house and ends up, you know, 2 days later, maybe he's used it and that wouldn't be so marvelous for kashrus reasons, so whatever. But,
yeah. Using kelim that are owned by him.
Right. As long as you haven't got a kashrus shaila, then yeah. That's true. And that's always like, shailas and restaurants and hotels and stuff for ownership, whatever. Yeah. Theoretically.
So it applies if you give it to them as a gift, they're lending it to you, correct?
Yeah.
And they don't have to have used it at all. They've had it for like a minute.
Doesn't matter. It's ownership. It's owned by a goy and lent to a Jew. It doesn't need to. Yeah.
If you have something that is you, let's say you have something that is yours already, and you give it to
him. A gift. Give it to him. It's his now.
This is the case we're talking about.
Yeah.
When you get it back, you have to talk to him.
If you get it back again, you have to tovel it. If you just borrow it, you don't have to tovel it. But anyway, you had to tovel it. It was the whole thing over here. You're not getting extra tefillah you wouldn't have had to do. You're just giving it to the guy, and hopefully he'll get back to you as a gift back after Shabbos, whatever. In the meanwhile, he owns it, and you're borrowing it. So that's okay. Lamed, hey. V'yachzav yishal. And then afterwards, you give it to him, then you borrow it from him. But, even if you do this shtick, and you get it back from after Shabbos now, you would still need a tefillah. You haven't got out the tefillah. Came to the Sofiyah Nishka Hakli Tachas Yado. Since Lamaise it became owned by him, Nishka became like in his possession, Hukushalei becomes like his. Ken Kasva Taz, Behavi Raya Lezer, Taz wants to prove this, he brings the Raya that this must be true, that now that it becomes his, which is what you're trying to achieve here, so that you won't need to do tefillah yourself, but you will still, for sure, will need tefillah once you get it back from him properly, after Shabbos, when you get it back actually as a gift from him. Amikam Mokam Yad Bilenu Bili Bocha. But when you do tovel it after Shabbos, when you get back from him, you should do it without a bocha, or yad bil kliyache imoy v'rachal shneihem, or make another, or what you should do is make a bocha on a different kli that you're toveling, and then that will cover this one as well. I know you're saying, but needed to read it beforehand anyway, so why wouldn't you make a bocha the first time around? But here we're talking about where, for some reason or other, the chiddush of this din is that, of the Taz, etc., is that he only owned it temporarily, and it's that kind of like a halachic, way out that you gave it to in the first place, but he only owned it kind of technically, but still Taz says that needs trila, and therefore you should do it with that bocha. So if Khan Lamad Vav, Yimal Enu Mayim, but in a type of kli where it's used to fill it with water, so you can, what can you do? You can go to the mikveh and fill it with water, and then magically, by putting under the surface, you've just been toivelet. And no one will suspect that you're doing it for tefillah purposes. Vein mevach, but don't make a bracha on that, this filling type of act. Because it's not clear that you're doing this act for tefillah. This whole idea of the case of the Ramah, just putting under the water, because it's the type of kli that people use for filling water, that only works, or it should be used, if you don't have another kli to use. But if you've got another kli to use, then you shouldn't rely on this type of heta. Onto page Kufnun Hey. The Ilav Hachi Asa Mipnesha Masid HaBocha B'Yadayim. The problem with this is, to do it this way, is you're not going to be making a bocha on it, and if you're not making a bocha, so you, to do a mitzvah without making a bocha is not ideal, and therefore it's best to avoid this whole clever trick that the Ramah spoke about by using another kli if you have it, and only if you don't have another kli, then you can rely on this trick. But again, you'll lose the bocha on the tefillah, and therefore it's not so ideal, but can be done if necessary. Adkan.